everybody. I am Sin Wang Chong, and today I'm hosting episode 6 of Scholarly Peers podcast. And today with me is Dr. Jessica Toll, and we are continuing our series focusing on early career researchers' experiences in journal peer review. So today I'm very happy to have Jessica with us. Welcome, Jessica.
Thank you, Sin Wang, for inviting me to be one of your valuable guests.
Yeah. Thank you. So shall we start by you telling us a little bit about yourself and maybe your experience in journal peer review?
Yeah, sure. I'm Jessica Toll, a qualitative researcher with expertise in assessment for learning. I obtained my Doctor of Education from Faculty of Education, the University of Hong Kong in 2016 under the supervision of Professor David Carlos. So currently, I am an education research scientist at National Institute of Education, Nanyang Technological University in Singapore. And prior to that, I was a postdoctoral fellow at Faculty of Education, the University of Hong Kong. For peer review experience, I started reviewing journal manuscripts since 2018. So till now, I have 4 years experience. Yeah, I reviewed papers for 15 different journals. And in addition to being a peer reviewer, now I'm a guest editor of a special issues for an SSCI journal. And yesterday I received news from my NIE colleague. Yeah, I will be a managing editor for one of their journals, that is the Asia Pacific Journal of Education. Yeah, so I'm building up my peer review experience, I would say. Yeah, so that's my brief introduction. Yeah.
Congratulations on the on the new post. Right, so let's start by talking to our audience about some of your unforgettable peer review experiences as an author first, and then we will go to the peer reviewer identity later. And by unforgettable, I mean both positively unforgettable or not so positively. Yeah.
Yeah. So to me, every review experience is special because it is a kind of evaluation of my research work and writing quality. But if you ask me whether I have any unforgettable experience, I would say two, one positive and one negative. So maybe I start with the positive first. So my positive experience was related to my second publications, which is a single author publications, a single author paper. Yeah, to me, I think it is unforgettable because the process was very smooth. Yeah, I submitted my manuscript. After waiting for 2.5 months, I received the decisions from the editor. No criticisms. I just got one suggestions from the editor saying that I could write one paragraph to discuss the cultural impact of feedback resilience. Yeah. So I just added this paragraph and then sent it back to the editor. And then 1 month later, the paper was accepted. Yeah. And then I think it's 2 more months and then the paper appeared online. Yeah, and then the volume number and then the page number could be assigned to this manuscript in the same year. So everything was very smooth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So So it's very excited. I also sent a thank you message to the editor. Yeah, it's a really big encouragement to me. Yeah. Because this is just my second publications. Yeah. So this is the positive. And then for the negative one is I received the decisions on New Year's Eve, and it was a rejection message. Yeah, actually, the rejection message is not the most surprising. Yeah, make this experience unforgettable is that is the choice of words used by the reviewer. Yeah, I remember that I had two reviewers. One of them was quite positive, but another one was super negative. I can describe how super negative it is. This reviewer wrote 3 to 4 pages of comments. And this reviewer began every paragraph with the phrase, of great concern is that, of serious concern is that, of considerable concern is that. So every paragraph is a criticism. Every paragraph is a great concern. And sometimes this reviewer would use capital letters to highlight some criticisms. So it seems like this reviewer was pointing the finger at me. Oh, you are doing something wrong, right? And then these reviewers would also say, oh, in our country, we have different types of scaffolding strategies. I didn't understand why you mentioned none of them and none is in capital letter. All right. Yeah. So, yeah, this is very unforgettable to me. Yeah. So I need to calm down myself, put away the review report for nearly 2 weeks. And then after I could calm down myself, I read it and try to figure out what are the major insights I could obtain. Yeah, so that is the unforgettable experience to me on the negative side.
Yeah, I would definitely think that the negative one in particular, it's really, really unforgettable. I mean, it's interesting to think about because we're always asking for like detailed feedback. And you said you received 3 to 4 pages from that reviewer.
But very detailed.
Yeah, very detailed, but it doesn't mean it's helpful or it's good for us psychologically. I mean, even we have very detailed description of, you know, only our problems. And of course the way it's written, the tone and the overuse of or excessive use of capital letters. I mean, this is very interesting and I obviously not interesting to you. I mean, it's I'm sure it's a very tough and process to respond. And you talked about the strategy a little bit about how you just calm down and sit back and just don't think about it for a while first. And we'll come back to strategies later. So now let's put on your peer reviewer's hat for a moment and thinking about, again, unforgettable experiences from the perspective of a peer reviewer. Do you have anything to share with us?
Actually, I don't have much unforgettable experience, but I can share my feeling of being a peer reviewer for different journals. So my feeling is that the research field is getting more and more competitive. Yeah, I have this feeling is that because when I review the manuscript, sometimes I would think the authors are not ready for submissions actually. As we all know, the discussion session is the most important for a manuscript. But some writers would just write 1 to 2 paragraphs for the discussions, and then that's all. And then at that time, I would just wonder if they see the importance of our publications, why didn't they spend more effort and time in enhancing or beefing up the quality before submissions? Because it wastes every person's time. Yeah, the managing editor, the associate editor need to take a look at your manuscripts, select suitable reviewers. Reviewers need to read your work and then draft the report and then send it back to editor. Editor need to send you the decisions. If the manuscript is not ready, why send it to the journal to waste every person's time? So that is one of my special feeling.
Mm.
Yeah. So I just try to think about what would be the possible reasons. Maybe these authors want to try their luck. Maybe they think, maybe some reviewers may be very lenient to me. They will give me a chance for major revisions and then I can go for it and then they will get published. But usually under this so competitive world, hyper-competitive research world, luck does not always happen.
Mm.
Yeah. So that is one of my special feelings I have. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think that's, again, it's quite inspiring in a sense that when we see manuscripts that may not be up to a certain level, but you see them more and more. I mean, you start to ask questions, not just whether the authors are submitting something that are not ready, but also looking at the whole peer review process, because to me, I mean, the editor should not have sent those manuscripts to reviewers. They may just, you know, they should just reject it at the submission stage. So there are a lot of issues I think we can think about. But obviously, your explanation and your interpretation is quite interesting because you said it may be because of the pressure to publish. So and they just want to try their luck, really, just to see if this one rejects me, then I would just try another one. And, you know, there must be one that is willing to take me to accept my manuscript. So I think, yeah, that's very true. So I want to follow up on this by asking you this question. So if you receive manuscripts like those that you describe, not ready, obviously not ready for publication, but you receive it, and you mentioned it's wasting your time, everybody's time, in your comments, would you express that frustration to the author? You know, how would you go about giving feedback to manuscripts like these?
Mm. So usually I have learned the strategies of not to reveal my true feelings to the authors. Yeah. So what I try to do is I try to be objective, let the authors know what's my opinion. So in the cases I have just explained, I would say, after reading your paper, my opinion is that this is not suitable for publications because it looks like a post-intervention evaluation report rather than a journal manuscript. What is missing is the lack of a conceptual framework. Yeah, the discussions of the significance to the research community. I would mention what are the weaknesses that make me think that this is not suitable for publications as a journal manuscript.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's still important just, you know, to remain objective and, you know, make sure your comments are evidence-based. You're not pointing towards the person, but really the work, the quality of the work.
Yeah, because I experienced something similar. I don't want to pass the feeling to others, yeah.
So is it the same, I mean, like when you receive feedback from reviewers as an author, that you have to just put it aside and wait to let your feeling sink in, just like when you review a paper that you're not happy about, then you have to put it aside for a while, just to make sure you don't express that frustration to the author in your comments.
Okay, actually, this is different. As an author, if I receive very critical and sometimes maybe unbiased feedback, I need time to calm down because it sounds like it's a kind of association attachment of my own work. Yeah. But as a reviewer, if I read some not up to the standards work, I would just treat myself as an assessor. I don't have any strong emotional attachment to it. Mm. Yeah, of course, I'm disappointed, but this kind of disappointment won't stop me from giving them objective comments. So usually for this kind of manuscript, I don't need any time to calm down. I would just try to do it as quickly as I can.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, now let's talk about strategies, because you mentioned, you know, kind of alluded to a number of strategies that you use, you know, both as an author and as a peer reviewer. So I would like to know how you learn to navigate the peer review process. And I'm not sure whether this is something that you were taught quite explicitly and structurally in your doctoral program, or how did you pick it up then, if it's not part of your training?
Yeah, honestly speaking, I had no formal training for peer review. Yeah, so I just learned through from experience. Yeah, so I could tell you how I built up my experience. One thing is when I was invited to review manuscript, usually I received some guidelines and some guided questions from the editorial board. Yeah, so some of the questions would be very useful. They would say, was the paper developed based on the updated and relevant literature? Yeah. Was the methodology rigorous? It is clear explanations of the research instruments. How was the findings? It is clearly presented. It is, can you see any critical angle in when the authors presented the findings? Was the conclusions well supported by the findings? Is there any significance to the research community? I think these kind of guided questions would be useful. So this is one way I learn how to review a paper. And then the other way I learn from it is I try to analyze the decision letters from the editor. Yeah. So sometimes it's my decisions letter, but the other cases would be for some journals after the review process, I could see how other peer reviewers review the same manuscript. So I could compare my evaluative judgment with theirs. And then I would know, okay, so if I treat them as the examples, I would see, okay, how about the structure of the peer review report? Yeah. So after comparing a few review reports, I get to know the structure. Start with a thank you message. and then briefly summarize what are the main theme of the manuscript, what are the major strengths, and then the remaining parts would be criticisms and suggestions for improvement. Yeah. So when you make the criticisms, try to specify the page number, a line number, point out some examples. If you think, oh, the conceptual framework is very weak, okay, which part make you think that it's so weak? Any examples for any ways to improve it? Yeah. And then at the end, you would say thank you again and then wish them good luck if you need to reject it. If you accept it, we will say congratulations. Yeah, we look forward to reading the published manuscript. Yeah, so I try to learn about the structure from it. So this is, yeah, after that, I try to compare my judgment with the other peer reviewers' judgment. And then one thing I would notice is that for some experienced peer reviewers, usually they would focus more on the significant issues. They would raise some questions to make the authors think about what is the significance of your study? If you propose an intervention, how can you make sure that the interventions can be sustainable? Or how can we apply that in other academic contexts? So I try to learn from their comments. So this also broadened my perspective. Yeah. So I think that would be useful. Yeah.
So obviously, you're now quite a successful peer reviewer and you're going to be a managing editor. So it seems like the learning by doing seems to work quite well. But would you say that, you know, going back in time as a doctoral student, that you would appreciate having some kind of support, or not maybe not a course, right, but some kind of support to learn about what journal peer review is and how to do it? Would that help?
Yeah, I would help. Yeah. And it depends what kind of training can be provided. So let's say if it is a workshop, a 1 hour workshop, I think what we can learn is we could learn about the procedures of peer review. What are the major steps? How to select suitable manuscript or the structure of the peer review report. Yeah. And then most importantly, I would think how to make a quality critique. Quality, but polite, appropriate critique depends on experience or sharing with more experienced reviewers would be more useful. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Let's turn to challenges. Again, you mentioned a number of those already when you shared your unforgettable experiences, but specifically, what are some of the challenges that you face or are still facing maybe? In the peer review process, both as an author and a peer reviewer?
Okay, maybe I say as a peer reviewer first. As a peer reviewer, as I said, not all manuscripts are very good in quality. So actually, I'm in a difficult decision. When I make recommendations, should I choose major selections or rejections? Yeah. So to me, I just choose one of the buttons on my desktop page, yeah. But to offer it means a lot, yeah. Yeah. So at the very beginning, I try to be lenient, yeah. So I select major revisions, but later on when I know the review results from other peer reviewers, I will say, oh, I was too lenient, yeah. So now I also try to ask myself, how can I make the decisions, whether it should be a major revisions or a rejection message? And now I just share what I think, and then you can let me know whether I'm right or wrong. If this manuscript has lots of problem in conceptual framework, methodology, but it still has some significance and no ethical issues, I tend to suggest major revisions. Yeah, but if I think, oh, this is just replications of previous studies without any significance and also with so many problems, and then rejection message. Yeah. Okay. So I'm learning how to make a firm decisions on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. And as an author, do you have any challenges? I mean, apart from the fact that you told us about the not very friendly comments.
So just once, actually, the not very friendly comments. Yeah. Comparatively, I would say I was lucky. this kind of unforgettable experience happened once only. Up to now. Yeah.
Okay. That's good to know. So it seems like it's a pretty smooth and positive experience overall as an author.
Your
experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Most of the peer review comments I received are very positive and useful. Mm-hmm. Constructive. Okay. I would say constructive.
Okay. That's good to know. You mentioned as a peer reviewer, you struggled with standards, and you know when you compare your judgment with other reviewers, mm-hmm. you reflected on your own judgment, and also you're trying to think of reasons and justifications for your own recommendation, whether it's major revision, mm-hmm. rejection, mm-hmm. or minor revision. So I think this connects with the next question, which is about supporting early career researchers and doctoral students. And you mentioned previously that you did not receive any training as part of your doctoral program. And it's not an isolated case. I talked to people around the world, and it seems to be an international phenomenon. Whether it's positive or not, I'm not commenting. But do you think this is something that training can provide, for example, when you talk about standards, and you know, even though some journals provide you with guiding questions, you know that those guiding questions are vague, and they are designed to be vague because you know a journal can receive different types of papers, you know, conceptual mm-hmm. papers and you know, primary studies. So, do you, even with those statements or prompts, sometimes it's quite difficult to make an informed judgment, and it seems like we have to figure out what the journal standard is by, for example, looking at some recent publications or asking colleagues who may be on the board or something like. So we have to figure out at the standard ourselves. So do you think there is support that can be provided, not just by the university or, I don't know, different parties, to support early career researchers to be a better peer reviewer, for example?
So to be a better reviewer, I think some strategies have been implemented already. Yeah, but of course we could have more. All right. Yeah, I would say on top of the vague guidelines I received, so I think it would be beneficial for early career researchers to have more detailed checklist when they do their peer review. So let's say, because as an early career researcher, they are not very sure about the expectations of different sections of the manuscript. So let's say for introductions, what's the major functions or what should be expected in the introductions? Maybe define the key terms, announce the significance, the importance of your topic. Yeah. So as a peer reviewer, they need to know. Yeah. Because if you don't have this kind of knowledge, usually, if you see, this paragraph are well written, no grammar mistakes, good organizations, and then they will think it is good if you don't have this kind of specific evaluative judgment. Yeah, so I think, have a detailed checklist, let the early career researchers know what are the expectations of different sessions, or which fatal problems would lead to rejections. And then that would be good. Sometimes early career researchers may not be aware of these fatal problems. They see some strengths, and they say, you see some strengths. Let them have major revisions. But maybe later on, you may be rejected by the editor.
Do you think a checklist would also help to prepare early career researchers to submit manuscript?
Yeah, I think so. Actually, the same manuscript can be used for as an author, as a peer reviewer.
Yeah. So the same checklist can be used actually to kind of remind them. Okay, that's good. I'm just curious at your institution. Are you aware of any support in relation to journal peer review for early career researchers?
You mean my current institutions?
Yeah. Or your current one or in the past.
In the past, I didn't experience any formal support. Mm. But for informal support, we have some sharing with other postdoctoral researchers, the professorial staff. Yeah. Mm. From the conversations, I learned more about how to review a paper. Yeah.
Okay.
And in my current institutions, of course, no formal training. So it's just for informal research network.
Okay. All right. Thanks. So my final question has to do with advice, because a lot of our audience will be doctoral students or early career researchers. So I wonder if you have any advice to provide to them who are maybe thinking about submitting their first manuscript to a journal. Of course, they may be doing it with their supervisor, but you know, it's good to hear from a peer, you know, what sort of suggestions you will provide to them.
Yeah, I think the first suggestion is be well prepared, produce the best quality of draft as you can. If you don't feel your manuscript is impressive, how can you persuade the reviewers and editor that your work should be published? So this is my first suggestions. And the second one is, of course, early career researchers or doctoral students may not have a very clear idea whether their work is of good quality. So they need to invite some critical friends to read their paper. Not their close friends, because their close friends will take care of their feelings. They may not tell them the true criticism. So try to invite some critical researchers. Yeah. Ask them to tell you as many problems as possible. That would be very helpful. Yeah. So if you could anticipate as many problems as possible and you overcome these problems, and then the reviewer process can be smoother. Yeah. And then the first suggestion is have sufficient emotional preparations. It may be rejected. Yeah. Yeah. And don't be frustrated. It is very normal among doctoral students and early career researchers. And then if it is rejected, try to understand the criticisms. Yeah. Yeah. So try to first judge it is valid. If it is valid, how can you improve it? Yeah. So most of the time, the comments are valid. It points out the author's weaknesses. So if you have a strong awareness of it, and then these authors could gradually avoid making the same problem in the subsequent manuscript. So that would be very useful.
All right. Thank you very much. I mean, we're all learning as part of the early career researcher community. So thank you very much, Jessica, for sharing with us your experience. And it's nice catching up with you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Ximen.